I'm Bill Littlefield, ahead on Only a Game, the Christmas truce that temporarily halted World War I. But first, imagine a hard black hockey puck hurtling toward you. Now imagine that puck hitting you right in the face. That's exactly what often happened to goalies for decades until 1959, when one netminder decided it was time for a change. Only a Game's Doug Trabue reports.
Montreal Canadiens goaltender Jacques Plante should have been happy. It was the fall of 1959. His team was beginning its quest for a fifth straight Stanley Cup, and Plante was coming off his fourth season as an NHL All-Star. But Plante was fed up with being hit in the face with hockey pucks. Fred Addis is a member of the Society for International Hockey Research.
He had fractured each of his cheekbones once and had his nose broken twice and had totaled some 150 stitches before the 1959-60 season opened.
On November 1st, Plante and the Canadiens were in New York. A Rangers shot hit Plante in the nose and mouth, leaving cuts that required stitches. When he returned to the game, his face was hidden behind a form-fitting fiberglass mask. The future Hall of Famer would wear a mask for the rest of his career. According to Addis, Canadian goalies had been experimenting with masks long before Plante, including a female goaltender in Ontario who tried a fencing mask in 1926. The story of Plante's innovative fiberglass mask begins at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York. Don Spencer played goalie for the Hamilton hockey team in the late 1950s. Hamilton's athletic trainer and track coach, Gene Long, had been developing fiberglass heel cups for his high and long jumpers. Spencer says he asked Long for help after an injury in the fall of 1958.
I had a slap shot go off my ankle bone and just wouldn't heal up, and he made a fiberglass plate. After that, he obviously got thinking about his applicability as far as being a potential technique for developing a face mask.
In early 1959, Spencer and Gene Long began talking about making a fiberglass mask. Long says the original process began with plaster of Paris, and it was especially unpleasant for claustrophobic goalies.
For it meant that you covered up the whole face, except for, you know, possibly a straw in the mouth to breathe, or leaving the mouth ajar while you covered this whole face with essentially a cast.
By the time Long had finished Spencer's mask, Hamilton's season was over. But around that time, Spencer heard about another goalie in the market for some facial protection.
In mid-April, there was an article in the newspaper talking about the fact that Jacques Plante, who had also been chewed up pretty badly that season, so that he was beginning to look for a face mask. And so I wrote Jacques Plante about that process and hoped for a response.
Spencer never heard back, but researcher Fred Addis believes Spencer's letter prompted Plante to abandon the problematic plexiglass shields many goalies had begun using in practice. Over the years, some reports have erroneously credited Plante with creating the fiberglass mask, which was actually made by a fiberglass salesman named Bill Birchmore. Birchmore and Plante are deceased, and it's not clear how they met. Addis says they later formed a mask-making business, and Birchmore helped pioneer other styles, including the pretzel mask, which featured bars. Jerry Cheevers wore a white fiberglass mask during a career spent mostly with the Boston Bruins between 1965 and 1980. The Hall of Famer played on two Stanley Cup championship teams, but his biggest contribution to the game might be his mask. Cheevers came to practice one day thinking about how to get out of practice and how to decorate his shield. A relatively soft shot off the fiberglass solved both problems. Cheevers faked an injury and asked a trainer to come up with something to prove he'd been hurt.
So he takes his magic mark and paints a huge stitch, like a 12-inch scar in the mask. So we got, and I said, see, I was very seriously hurt, and we got a little chuckle out of it. And I said, this is a good idea. I finally answered the question of how I'm going to decorate my mask.
Cheevers continued adding stitches whenever a puck hit his mask, sometimes even putting them on between periods, and soon it was covered. The image became so iconic that Cheevers now has a business selling signed mounted replicas. Today's masks bear no resemblance to Plante's original. The current models are more like helmets and often feature elaborate artwork on the entire shell. Dominic Malerba owns Pro's Choice Goalie Masks in Middleton, Massachusetts, and has been making customized masks for pros and amateurs for 20 years. His NHL clients have included Mike Smith, Andy Moog, Mike Richter, and Olaf Kolzig. The slap shots of today's top defensemen, like Boston's Zdeno Chara, routinely break 100 miles an hour. Malerba says that's why goalies need better technology.
Not too long ago, but maybe a couple weeks ago when the Bruins were playing Edmonton, Chara went down the middle with a slap shot and hit Habby Boulin, one of my guys, straight in the face, and he didn't even flinch.
Malerba's NHL masks cost approximately $2,200 apiece. After Gene Long made his first mask in 1959, word spread and his hobby turned into a small side business. Long says it took him 3 5-hour days to make each one, and it wasn't all that profitable.
Quite frankly, it was my Christmas money for my three growing girls. I started out selling these masks at $25 each, mostly for high school and college goalies. I don't think that they ever got as expensive as $50. So it was Christmas money and fun.
But when Jacques Plante first donned Bill Birchmore's mask during an NHL game, it wasn't a fun transition. Many coaches, players, and team executives, even within the Canadiens organization, criticized Plante and feared that masks would create distance in the relationship between fans and their favorite players. But hockey researcher Fred Addis says while some goalies took years to come around, Plante's stature in the game helped masks gain acceptance.
He was the best goalie by far in the National Hockey League, and when the best goalie in the league puts on something as innovative as a face mask, obviously people are going to follow suit. In one season, they were unacceptable and only worn by cowards. In the following season, there were hockey organizations that were mandating their players to wear them.
For Only a Game, I'm Doug Trabu.
Take off that mask. Don't think you should show your face around here. So if you got through, you know it's not the end of the world. Take off that mask. It's okay. There's